The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 521. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. About 2 weeks ago, I sat down and spoke to a man by the name of Bob Corby, who is the promoter of a great comic book convention here in Columbus, Ohio, called Space, the Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo. We talked on that particular episode about the history of Space and about the show that was coming up here within a couple of weeks. And so this episode is going to chronicle my trip to that convention. It was this past weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I ventured over on Sunday afternoon. And first of all, I got to check out the new venue, and it is amazing. It is fantastic. There's so many adjectives I could use to describe the McCoy Center, but it was awesome. The programming was awesome. There were so many cool new people that I got the chance to meet and talk to, and you're going to hear those conversations. These talented indie comic book creators have a lot of cool projects that you need to know about. So with that being said, I'm not going to waste a ton of time because I want to get into the main part of this episode. But before I do that, I have to thank a few great sponsors of the show. First of all, I'd like to thank the newest sponsor, Courtney 614 Deals. If you need great deals on women's fashion or health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614 Deals. You can find her on all those major reselling sites like eBay, Poshmark, and whatnot. So simply look for Courtney, spelled C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614 Deals, and pick something up from her. And if you do, please let her know that you heard about her endeavors from me right here on the PVD Cast. And now it's time for me to thank the old school sponsor of the PVD Cast, and that is World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they've got tons of comics from every era. The golden, silver, bronze, and modern era, but they also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, you name it, they got it for your fandom. So, if you can stop over at the store, please do, but if you live outside Ohio and you still want to follow them, there's a couple different ways you can do that. First of all, their website is wgcomics.com. And they have a very active Facebook page. Just search for @WGComics. And I would like to thank both of these sponsors for supporting the PVD Cast throughout the years. All right, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversations with a plethora of creators that I met at Space. All right, folks, so I'm here at Space. I'm talking to Alex, Maurice, and Corey. The guys from, is it Lucky 33?
That's right.
There you go. So talk to us a little bit about some of your comics that you have here on display.
Sure, yeah. So we have three series. Our first series is called The New Luminaries. That's our flagship title. It's a story about what if the greatest superheroes in the world disappeared and it was up to a ragtag group of leftovers to save the day. Then we have Max Axel and the Wild Circuit, which is a video game that takes place in the Luminaries universe. And it's basically Mario Kart, Speed Racer, wacky races. It's our love letter to cartoons and video games of, you know, racing games and stuff that we grew up with. And then Astronaut High Schooler was originally written by our artist, J.R. Harris. And when we started working on the new luminaries with him, he wanted to continue Astronaut High Schooler and asked us if we could help him write the next issue. So we did one and two with him. And yeah, those are our three series and six books so far. And we have number four of the new luminaries coming out sometime this year, hopefully.
All right, Maurice, is this the first time you've been at Space?
Yes, this is our first time at Space. This is our second con. So we are based out of Jersey. We met Josh, our artist, online, and he's based out of Michigan. And we used SpaceCon in Ohio as kind of a middle ground to meet up with him finally after 5 years of working. Despite it being our first time at Space, it's been a wonderful experience. Everyone has been very friendly. And it's been great seeing all so many different indie artists doing so many different genres and art styles. It's been a great melting pot of comics.
Ohio is really, really cool.
You know, that is an amazing thing that I think that we all, some of us that are older, like myself, can reminisce about how this probably would have been a much more difficult project to do when you have you in Jersey, he's in Michigan, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, do you share that same opinion?
Oh, definitely. This is a project that happened when it happened, thanks to the technology that we have. We have weekly Zoom meetings with Josh, and he's usually drawing the art. The first issue of Luminaries, he did the pencils by hand, but now he does all of his art digitally, so he's usually on the call drawing. We're seeing it happen in real time. We can make adjustments and suggestions as he's drawing it and watching it unfold before our eyes. It's truly a magical experience.
Oh, that's cool. So, Corey, can I ask, how did you get involved with these gentlemen? Are they like lifelong friends? Are they college?
Lifelong friends. Met in middle school. Never turned away. We always liked writing stories together and just kept at it and kept at it. And kind of what you were just talking about is in our 20s, it was so much harder to find artists and communicate across distances and find like-minded folks and find, you know, organizations and conventions like this. And we just stuck at it until 5 years ago. Everything clicked in the right place. We kept writing, and here we are now.
Cool. I'm going to put you three on the spot here because I don't want any repetitive answers. But what is the biggest piece of advice you'd give a newcomer to the world of indie comics?
Yeah, biggest piece of advice is just do it. There are so many resources. There's never a better time to make a comic book. Watch other people on the internet make comic books, listen to what they say, ask them questions, buy their books, get involved in the community. Everyone is so cool and willing to help. I mean, the fact that there are hundreds of people here who are making indie comic books means that you can do it too.
All right, Maurice, what's your answer?
I would say be prepared to let go of some of what you think your best ideas are. Always be flexible. Always be willing to let your story grow with how it needs to grow. Sometimes as creatives, we come up with an idea and then we marry that idea immediately. We don't want to let go of it. And like working as a team with these two and then with bringing in Josh as well, it's been a real good collaborative effort of someone being like, that's a good idea, but let's tweak it or let's do this instead. And you have to be willing to let go of an idea that you loved to make a story better sometimes.
All right. And lastly, Corey.
Yeah, collaborate and keep trying. When I first started writing, I didn't like a lot of what I wrote, but I knew I liked writing. And just hearing what other people's thoughts and opinions were, like Mo just said, is kind of helped me break through. And keep trying, keep doing it, and don't be afraid to collaborate.
All right, let's wrap things up with social media, website. Where can folks follow you guys?
You can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Lucky33Comics. If you type that into either of those, you'll see my silly face, and you can follow us there. We also have a website, www.lucky33comics.com. You can buy t-shirts and comics there as well.
And you know what? There are some pretty sweet t-shirts, by the way. I like, Mo, that's a really cool design, man.
Thank you. It's our logo. We based it off of a raffle that's based off of a video game. So it's a dinosaur and a Cadillac. Lucky 33 Comics. We chose this and the colors because we wanted to make it pop out and stand and just be as fun as our comics are.
So there you go, folks. Go over to their website, lucky33comics.com. Check this out. Those shirts are awesome. So thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it, dude.
Thank you. It was great meeting you.
Thanks.
Folks, I'm standing here with Matt Blair here at Space. And Matt, how are you doing?
Really good. I'm having a good time here.
That's excellent. Now, you have Midville High is your project. Can you tell the folks a little bit about it without maybe spoiling the you know, we don't want any spoilers.
There's not much to spoil. It's a couple of friends in high school, very dorky, and the different antics that they get into. So in one episode, Kyle gets a bad haircut and he's got to go get it fixed somehow. In another one, the principal is farming all the kids out to go do chores around town when they're supposed to be doing detention. And I just finished a three-part mini-series where they all try out for the play. So all the dorks are trying out for the play, and it's a good time.
Okay. So what was the catalyst for this tale?
You know, I've always enjoyed comics, and I guess when I was in high school in the 90s, I was reading the old Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I had learned that those were self-published, and I thought, man, I'd love to do something like that. So then, you know, I started to doodle in class a couple of times, and you know, by my sophomore year, I had kind of sketchbooks full of these stupid comics, and eventually that evolved into this. And so I've been doing it since then, about 25, 30 years now.
Okay. Is this your first time at Space?
This is the second time.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's this year been treating you?
Fantastic. It's really good. A lot of good people, a lot of different people. It's very eclectic mix of folks. So I'm happy. It's a good scene here.
Okay, cool. And you are based out of where again?
Dayton, Ohio.
Dayton, okay.
Yeah, the Gem City. Yeah.
Okay. Have you been to Gem City? I assume you have.
The Comic-Con, I've gone there to buy things. I'm one of the jerks who goes and looks for, like, the dollar comics, and, you know, I'm not paying a whole lot for this stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that. I grew up with doing the dollar box. Well, right. At that point, they were 50 cents or 25 cents. That's how old I am. But, yeah, so there's no shame in that.
Oh, that's inflation for you. I don't know. Blame the politicians.
So what's Sugarcane County, if I may ask?
Oh, this was my failed project. I really wanted to do a newspaper comic strip. You know, we used to have these things, newspapers. You remember them.
Yes.
And so Calvin and Hobbes and the newspaper strips, that's the stuff I really, really loved. I wanted to do my own newspaper strip in the early 2000s. And I kind of missed. So that's what Sugarcane County is. It was my attempt to do a newspaper strip. It's based on kind of some experiences I had in the Peace Corps when I got out of college. But I missed kind of the digital transition, you know, when comics were analog, or I don't know what you call it, and then going to digital. And so I never really took off the ground, but I recently put together a compilation of those strips that I tried to get published into the newspapers.
Okay. So if you had to give a piece of advice to a newcomer to indie comics, what would that be?
Don't try to get rich. It's not going to happen. You know,
I'm going to interrupt for a minute.
Yeah.
That goes for podcasting too, by the way.
So. Yeah, don't try to get rich. Have fun and make friends. You know, I think that's the important thing.
Okay. You have any upcoming projects you want to plug real quick?
I'm going to keep doing Midville High. That's my plan. I do have... I'm going to try to work on another collection. So I've got one collection of zines that's on, you can get on the web, Midville High. I'm going to do another one. That's my plan.
Where can folks follow you online, website, maybe future appearances or whatnot?
Well, I'll be back at Space next year. But if you look up Choosy Beggar Books or Midville High on Google, it'll come up. So.
Okay. All right, mate. You made it simple on everybody. Midville High.
Midville High, yeah, and it usually comes up first in the searches.
Okay, all right. Now, I have to ask, with Midville High, are there a bunch of football nerd or football jocks that beat up the nerds?
You know, yes.
Okay, enough said. Yeah, we don't have to go any further than that. Matt, thank you very much.
Yeah,
I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm standing here with Matt from 3T Comics. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's always nice to come a couple hours south of Cleveland and almost touch another sea town. So I feel like we're very close to Columbus.
Yeah, so you're a Cleveland guy?
I am. I'm a publisher of an advocate of independently published comics in the small press. I like to go where folks aren't. So I am digging in the corners, digging deep, and looking for small runs of work because there's an awful lot of talent and some great storytelling and art out there.
So what do you have to display for this year here at Space? What do you got? What do you got in the catalog?
Well, thanks for asking. The most recent work that I am currently presenting is called Homer and Cub. It is the ninth issue of an anthology I publish on a bi-yearly schedule. So okay. This is our 10th issue is coming out this summer. We're about 6 years old. We're getting our sea legs, and we're really hoping we can get that driver's license 10 years early. That's a book that can be found on Power Pulp Comics. The particular project itself is paying homage to... Are you familiar with the Bart Kira phenomena that happened?
I am not. Please educate me.
Here it is in broad strokes. Are you familiar with The Simpsons?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. There's also a very potent Japanese manga that found its way into a full-length movie that landed here in the States called Akira. Okay. Have you had a chance to see Akira?
Yes, long time ago.
Excellent. In an earlier phase of social media, a lot of artists were sharing their work online at a website called DeviantArt. And one day, in 2008, someone had done a drawing of a character from the Akira movie, but it was Bart Simpson in the outfit with the motorcycle. And it caught on. And before you know it, a smaller community of people also started to contribute some cool concepts. But it grew, snowballed. And 6 years later, they completed the 600th page of the entire manga.
Wow.
Upwards of close to 500 contributors from all over the world who had found themselves on the DeviantArt webpage and communication with themselves independently contributed. The project was wrangled by a few coordinators. And as you can imagine, when you're dealing with a subject that you don't own the copyrights to, what do you do with that? You can have some fair use, but it wasn't a project that was designed to generate funds or bootleg. Mm-hmm. It was a labor of love.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's interested in seeing the project can find it by typing in the word bartkira.com on their computer, on their phone. Everything is cataloged there. You can start right at the beginning and look at this interesting cultural mashup of two different entities that made a brand new thing.
And I noticed your shirt, and I know that we're an audio podcast here, but I noticed just now when you were talking, I was like...
A sleeve on each side. You like that?
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty creative.
These are some images.
Oh, okay. Even on the back. Wow.
Yes. From... that appear in the book by one of our contributors. But since they can't see the image or the contributor, I'm not going to identify them. And I can see the joy emulating. I've never seen somebody do a handstand like that. That is very impressive. I can tell that you're inspired. But here's that image in color.
Yeah.
And that image ended up on the shirt about a year before this collection came together. One of the other things that we do at 3T Comics, usually once or twice a year, I open up enrollment for what's called the 3T Zine Club.
Okay.
Where we are doing 6 months of blind zines sent to your house, anywhere on the planet. We're in season three right now, and in July of this year, I'll open up enrollment again. It's not something that's totally scalable. So I've got about 55 slots.
Okay.
It's a one-time payment of $32 if you're in the States. And because of the international forever stamp, I can mail a 1 ounce zine to anywhere on the planet for about 90 cents more in postage. So overseas folks pay $37. Say you're in somewhere exotic like Canada. For me to ship a full-size magazine for my Told to Tell, the Homer and Cub issue, $27 for me to send that in a cardboard mailer. I like to bag and board my books just to protect them.
Sure.
It's nice to get them. It's nice to feel like when you first get a thing that you have a shot at it relatively unmangled and not too soggy. Whereas I can't shrink the international costs of what it costs to ship books. Mm-hmm. I can make a smaller product. Still human-made, human-assembled.
Okay.
Hand-addressed and popped willy-nilly with a singular stamp on it off into the ether. And so far, our arrival rates have been pretty good.
That's cool.
And if I need to replace the book, I have more envelopes, additional stamps, and some backup issues. So we do the 3T Zine Club a couple times a year to kind of part of it is my response to the difficulties of international shipping, but I also want to put some emphasis on human-made things distributed mm-hmm. by humans for humans. Mm-hmm. And there's a real arts and crafts, there's a real artisanal feel. When I'm stapling and assembling, I am measuring in 64ths of an inch. I like that. I like. I enjoy the folded paper with the images on it, and it's equally exciting to get a piece of mail that isn't a bill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So on the table here, what else do you have that you would say if somebody was brand new to 3T Comics? What should they pick up?
Well, I do all ages books as well as some adult books. I would certainly start them with Homer and Cub, but since those earlier issues have been harder to find, I have been reprinting issues. Our very first issue is an adults-only issue. You can just gasp in awe in the way that the audience might. Say if they wanted to, say they were a Tim Vigil fan and were surprised to find a commissioned full-color cover by Tim Vigil in the centerfold that might depict Claire, a recognizable character in Faust, interacting with what could be considered a devil or a demon in a zesty way, then they might want to open up Told to Tell number one. I would like to take a second, though, to talk about another group of artists that are also putting together their own work. And they are the Mystical Order of the Winking Star. And they produce a periodical called Hunch. It's a newspaper, black and white, newsprint. Their fifth issue just dropped, I want to say, this month. And it's the kind of thing that you can buy for a couple dollars.
Now, is that more adult-oriented as well?
Yes.
Okay.
I think that there's a degree of kind of like a respectful peer communication that's going on. And I am sure that there's plenty of adults who are interested to see what storytelling and what other images and ideas might get out there. So I feel that there's such a diverse field of stories available. Especially in the last 10 years, there's so much manga available mm-hmm. to us. And the subjects there are as diverse as golf manga, cooking manga, pet manga. And,
right.
and all of those can be as equally engaging in using all of the tools available in storytelling and the craftsmanship in terms of rendering images, constructing pages. All this stuff is on full display in so many different venues or little subcultures. Mm-hmm. You know, it's... the little niche that 3T Comics supplies is just kind of, I'm right outside the reindeer game circle of independent artists who are hanging out with the deep cuts.
Okay.
We're small batch books. I like to, if anyone asks, I think the tagline we like to use, we like to make beautiful and dangerous books. Ideas are inspiring, and it's fabulous to interact with a piece of art, whether it's music, an image you've seen, a comic you've looked through, that lands in you, you know, that is substantially bewildering or inspiring or maybe just connecting you to some of your humanity that you share with other people on the planet.
So where can folks follow 3T Comics online?
Well, excellent. I have a singular presence in terms of social media. I can be found. I work on Instagram. I'm still trying to utilize its infrastructure, which mm-hmm. allows me to have contact, one-on-one contact. 3T, I run 3T an awful lot like a Ma and Pa might run a hardware store in a small town where Mom went out for cigarettes and never came back. So rather than having a website of my own, I am interacting specifically with other people who are interested in the art of the story. And I sell right from my kitchen. Though, this year, my books are now available through Power Pulp Comics, which is, to my understanding, the very first independent distribution collective, which means if somebody is getting their books directly, maybe from the printer or the artist themselves versus their local comic shop, they're usually paying what it costs mm-hmm. for that person to ship to their house. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I find a lot of my comics. What we're trying to do with Power Pulp Comics is not only consolidate by having 50 or 60 different self-publishers sent to a single location. Mm-hmm. We're trying to stretch the effectiveness of that postage, postal costs to ship right? Door to door.
It makes it easier on the client or on the customer, I should
say. Sure does. And we are making a very concerted effort to expand our readership by making things easier for brick and mortar stores rather than dealing with just an individual artist. Mm-hmm. Now they can look at 50 or 60 artists whose books are in a single location. And we little plug for Power Pulp Comics. And if folks are interested and happen to be brick and mortar folks, you should check out powerpulpcomics.com. We offer a 50% discount for all of our books, and we cover shipping on any order over $200, because in a lot of ways, as meaningful as all of the work that we do is on the page, and we're all very concerned about presenting work that isn't backlit, that you can sit with without having to plug it into anything. Until we get readers involved, the cycle isn't complete, right? We want another human to involved that is not us.
Okay. Matt, thanks. This has been a very insightful conversation. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. I'm really glad. I just want to win the car.
Well, sorry. We'll have to go to Final Jeopardy for that.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Instagram's where they can find me, and my handle is Told to Tell. One word, TOLDTOTELL, which is also the name of the anthology series that we present.
Okay.
Thanks for your time, man. It was really
nice
to meet you.
It was nice to meet you
as
well.
Enjoy your day, brother.
All right. Thank you.
Stay hydrated.
I'm going to interrupt my conversations for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it for your fandom. So if you're in Central Ohio, stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of the area, you can check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics.
All right, folks, so I'm standing here with another great set of creators here at Space, talking to Joe,
yeah,
and Matt. You guys are Flyby Publishing, and so tell us a little bit about your company.
Well, we were just two guys that worked together, and were bored with what we were doing, and just throwing around stories, and decided to just start making some comics.
I'm laughing because, believe it or not, I've heard that story a lot. Oh, I was goofing around at work, and I had nothing better to do, so I started making a comic. So it's a common answer. But so, Joe, tell us a little bit about some of your comics that you have here at the show.
Yeah, so I wrote Will of the Wisp. It's a fantasy folktale. Then I wrote Zombie Savior. It's a Passion of the Christ meets zombies about 20 years ago. And then Matt came up with the idea for Rogue. Kind of like a detective, you know, Danny Glover and Lethal Weapon meets Blade Runner. He's over it. He's ready to retire, get out of there. But he had this idea. I told him I'd written a script before. So I helped get the script out. And, you know, now we got these three books. And we're working on Flyby Double Shot, the first one here at this show with Space Rabbit. I wrote and drew Space Rabbit, and Matt wrote I Dare You. It's kind of like a Goosebumps for adults, so I don't know, that's about it.
Now, if I may ask, you stated earlier today when we first met that Will of the Wisp was kind of got a family connection.
It does, yeah. Yeah, so my granny, she grew up in Southwest Virginia, so Appalachia. She'd tell all these ghost stories about, I don't know, all kinds of stuff like the gaslights, orbs that you'd see, witches that were neighbors, and all the, you know, stuff that she saw as a kid. And so she'd tell us these stories about that. And so I kind of just adapted it, make it into a story. Yeah, it's pretty fun. I like it.
Did they really scare you as a kid?
Didn't really scare me. They very interesting. They should have scared me because she'd tell these stories about curses that people would put on other people around the community there, and it's just like, it's like, okay, I don't know if I didn't believe them enough not to get scared, but yeah.
All right. So, Matt, you were also involved in creating some shirts, which I know this is an audio podcast. You can't see them, but nonetheless, they are very pop culture oriented, including even having your own Rogue T-shirt. So can you talk a little bit about why you thought T-shirts would be a good avenue to promote your comics?
I mean, as far as the T-shirts go, I like T-shirts for myself, mostly for things that I watch and movies, and I was mainly making the designs for just so I could wear them.
Okay.
But I figured other people might like them as well, so I put them. I made an Etsy store and everything. And as far as promoting the comics, I mean, I like T-shirts with comic covers on them and that kind of stuff. And I just figured it'd be a good way to promote the character of our character Detective Poole and put some of the covers on the T-shirts and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I mostly make them just for myself to wear.
What's one that you haven't made yet, but you really, really want to make?
Put me on the spot here. I have a whole list of them, but gosh, I don't know. I mean, I make a lot of them that are just like movie based and like this one here, like Troll 2, that are very obscure. But if somebody knows them, you know, they know what it is and kind of thing. So I have a lot of ideas that are just like that, that are, like I said, movie based and that and out. I'm drawing a blank as my list.
All right. Well, I put you on the spot. That's maybe not 100% fair on that. But so is this your first time at Space?
Yeah. First time at Space and here, first time in Columbus, actually.
Yeah. Because you guys are from Tennessee, correct?
Yeah, we're from Knoxville, Tennessee area, East Tennessee. Anybody don't know that?
So how's the con treated you so far?
Oh, it's been great. Sales were pretty good, but as far as making connections, meeting people, the community here, the independent comics community here is great. It's very inspiring. We're hoping to bring that back to Tennessee, to our little area.
Okay, well, guys, social media, websites, where can folks follow you online?
We both have Instagram. Our main one is Flyby Publishing on Instagram. And then we have a website, Flyby Pub, FlyByPub.com.
All right. Well, guys, thanks for taking a few moments of your day to talk to me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Hey folks, I am still here at Space, still talking to a lot of great creators, including Mr. Chris Anderson. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Has the show been treating you well?
Absolutely, yeah. Things have been flying off the table. I can't complain.
Well, speaking of flying, you're from L.A., so how did you find out about Space?
Space has always been on my radar, and I am one of the founders of the Power Pulp Comics Collective, and we kind of have made a plan to have a bunch of us kind of come out to this, and it's been just an amazing experience.
Oh, that's good. So you say some of us. Who else is part of the crew here?
Oh, in this crew, we've got Matt Mechman over here. He does Told to Tell. Tony Farrow, who does Randy Tucker Bomb Dude and Ulf Maverick and 21st Century Big Spider. And then over here, we have Pat Kane, who does Rorg, amongst other really awesome comics.
Okay, well, let's talk about some of your comics, if you will. Which one should we start with? I'll let you pick.
Well, let's start with Chaotic Neutral.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about that, if you wouldn't mind. Maybe a short summary that doesn't give away too much of the plot.
So we call it it is the Dungeons and Dragons that your satanic panic fearing grandma thought that you were playing. It is very adult. It is very much inspired by the very early Dungeons and Dragons games. In fact, it's a 45-page comic with a 25-page fully playable module in the back. Comes with monster cards, character standees, and a die.
Wow!
So it's a fully immersive experience.
I just got to be honest. How's that production-wise to get that all produced and sent out to people that purchase it?
Well, we did a Kickstarter for it initially.
Okay.
So that was the main way that we were able to fund all the little extra things that go along with it. And then it just kind of gets, if you go to powerpulpcomics.com, it gets sent out with that stuff. So it's pretty easy.
Okay, okay. Yeah. It's amazing how things are so much easier now than, say, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you know, whether you're talking about shipping stuff or collaborating with somebody that's half of the world away or whatnot.
Exactly, yep, exactly.
Well, let's talk about what I'm interested in here, Sketches of the Masters. Can you give us a little heads up on what that project's all about?
Yeah, that was... So I did it for an Inktober kind of experiment where I just was going through different Masters of the Universe characters in my style, and I put it up on my Patreon, and Masters of the Universe fans came out of the woodwork, so I started making these Masters of the Universe bootlegs to go along with it. And it's been kind of gangbusters. I sell quite a bit of those as well. So it's just sort of me not doing any Masters of the Universe continuity. I don't ever say the name of any of the characters.
Okay.
And I just kind of tell my own story like I'm 8 years old again playing with my action figures.
What is your favorite Masters of the Universe character?
Oh, that's a really tough one.
That is a hard one. That is a real tough one.
Maybe Merman, just because that figure looked insane.
Yeah.
He's got those like meth eyes, you know? He just looks crazy and the like, tiny little teeth. I always loved that one.
Merman was a favorite of mine. I liked Mantana and Grizzlore.
I have a Mantana comic called The Voyeur. It's a very adult Masters of the Universe inspired book.
I'm trying to think. I mean, there's so many. It's hard. Fisto was another cool one.
I don't have a lot of toys in my collection on my shelves, but I have like a Skeletor section.
Nice.
Just because he's easy to find things for. But
The worst was Stinkor.
Well, I love Stinkor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because he stinks. Yeah.
As a kid, I hated him. I was like, he stinks. I don't want to play with him.
It still stinks. I still have mine, and it smells the exact same. It's patchouli.
All right, let's talk about a few more of your other projects here.
Sure. So another one is called Spectral, A Showcase of Fear, and it is a series of short horror stories that is told by a horror host that is a puppet master. And then every story is black and white with one spot color. So we work our way through the spectrum, hence Spectral.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's ingenious.
Yeah. And then I have Lost Angels, which is actually the first long-form graphic novel that I ever worked on. That book has been optioned by the Hollywood folk several times, so I may have only sold like maybe 400 copies, but it has made me more money than anything else.
Oh, okay. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and it's a fun story. It's like a YA sci-fi mystery kind of story, so it's good for all ages.
Okay, cool. Any other ones you want to talk about real quick?
Sure. Like right now, I'm doing a book at Dark Horse Comics called American Caper with the writers are the guys who created Red Dead Redemption.
Oh, really?
And Grand Theft Auto, yeah. And I'm working on that with David Lapham, who's doing the layouts for it.
Okay, cool. Is there any other upcoming projects you'd like to plug real quick?
Yeah, I'm about to kickstart a series of my work from Heavy Metal Magazine that when they kind of shut, they closed their doors, they've since restarted, but when they closed their doors, I didn't get to finish my full story. So I got the rights back to it, and I'm going to be releasing it in 3 issues. And then pretty soon I'm going to be doing a book called Three-Headed Pigman, which I think everybody is going to love because it's pretty crazy. And it affords me to be able to tell any kind of story that I want.
Okay.
So that'll be ongoing.
Cool. Where can folks follow you online, website, all that stuff?
Sure. You can find me at Chris Anderson Comics. It's my website. It's my Instagram and all that stuff. But also follow us on Power Pulp Comics. We are a collective of self-publishers that has central distribution, so you don't have to go to everybody's website. Okay. You can just order it right from us. Or if you're a retailer out there, we offer 50% off and free shipping over $200. So there's a lot of creators that you can pick up from that.
Cool. Chris, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your day to sit down and chat with me.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. All right, I am standing here with the man, the myth, the legend himself. I just made him laugh. Bob Corby. Bob, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, John?
I'm doing well. So we're here. It's about 3:30 on a Sunday for space. It's still hopping. It's been a fantastic weekend. What are your thoughts on the show?
I think it was great. I think we had a great. I had a lot of fun. This is a great facility, and hoping to get back here next year. Everything works here. No real issues. So,
yeah, the McCoy is fantastic, and I've said this before. Like, you look at the pictures online, and you're like, okay, that looks like a nice venue, but then you get here, and you're like, oh no, it's like five times nice venue.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's really great, and people are real cooperative here. They're really good to work with. I appreciate that. They put like a lot of extra effort in because they had a wedding here on Friday, so they've been working a lot of overtime to make all this happen. So I really appreciate that.
So overall, you're absolutely over the moon for how smoothly things went this year for space.
Oh yeah, yeah, everything. Like I said, everything works. Yeah. We you know, had a great panel room. The two big rooms full of artists it was very nice. Very, very comfortable. Less reverb in here, which makes it a little easier to talk to people. So, yeah, everything's been good.
You know what? I would like to comment real quick about the panel room, because I went up there and you have all of the jam boards for, is it for every single episode of Space?
Yeah, there should be one for every year up there. We started the first year. It's just an 11 by 17 jam that we did. I have to blow that up sometime and put it on a board. Then the second year, 2001, we started the big boards. And the only year besides that when we missed was 2021, which was the second COVID year that we did it online. The first COVID year, we actually have a board for, because we did an online board. People were sending me drawings and we were pasting it up. And we did a half of that over at the Laughing Ogre, you know. Laughing Ogre was still open, but you had to go in with your mask on the whole bit. We had sanitizer right near the board. And so for the following year, I printed up the one we did online and joined the two pieces together. So it's represented for 2020. But so we got every year except 2021 and 2000. So.
Okay. Well, so anything that you would like to change for next year? I know that's probably a loaded question because you probably are still processing all the success of this weekend, but is there anything off the top of your head?
Not really. I mean, I'd like to continue on the way we're going here. We had the panel room was full all weekend. We did a bunch, we filled up all the time slots, and there was actually some other ones we could have done if we had the times available. So, and we sold out all the tables and had a good waiting list and got a few of those people in last minute, which was nice. But I don't see a whole lot else we could do right now, but I'll sit back and think about it.
Okay. Well, for those of you that are listening and like you missed out, don't miss out. Backporchcomics.com. Keep tabs on that website because there's a tab for Space, correct?
Right. And we don't have a contract yet for any play. I'm hoping to be here again. Don't have a contract. In the next few weeks, I'll probably be talking to them. We'll see what we can do.
Okay. So, again, follow along on backporchcomics.com to get all the information for next year. And, Bob, you know what? I can't be happier for you. It's been a fantastic weekend. I've been here all day, and it's been just amazing. So, I
appreciate that. Thanks.
You're welcome. And with that, I'm going to let you go.
All righty.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with some of the talented creators that attended Space this year. And I hope you check out their social media. I hope that you check out their websites and whatnot to keep tabs on what they're doing. Because as you heard, there's a lot of cool and really unique ideas flourishing in the indie comic world. All right, now it's about time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, first of all, you can hit me up on email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter. That's right, I'm still on Twitter. Personal handle there is PVDMVP. And you can drop me a line over on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads account. Simply look for @PVDcast. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about the show. You want to spread the word, so to speak. Let's let those folks know that there's three unique ways that they can hear the PVDcast. First,
PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. Of course, the PVDcast is available through all your favorite podcasting outlets and apps. All you have to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And while we're talking about those outlets and apps, don't forget to rate and review. It helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. There's one final place I need to tell you about where you can hear each and every new episode. That is over at the Facebook page. Once again, that's at PVDcast. Where on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little live broadcast with the week's episode. Well, there you go. Three easy ways to hear the show: through PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, or through the Facebook page, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the live broadcast. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2026.